Hi guys, it's Jack here from PI Live USA coming to your podcast ears. If you don't already know, PI Live USA is the leading event for those working in the affiliate, influencer and partnership marketing space, taking place in Miami on April 16th to 18th this year. If you're a retailer, agency, tech platform, affiliate, publisher or creator, this is the place for you to connect with like-minded individuals, learn from leaders in the industry and ignite profitable partnerships. Head to performanceinn.live/USA to get your tickets and join us at the new home of partnership marketing.
You are listening to the Rick McGinnis Show podcast, where Rick and his guests talk all things affiliate program management. No topics are off limits. Want to learn proven tips and strategies to grow an affiliate program? Look no further. Now here's your host, Rick McGinnis.
All right, welcome back to the Rick McGinnis Show. Today, my guest is Mike McNerney from the MarTech Record. Mike, it's been a few weeks since we spoke, but how you doing?
I'm doing good. It's good to see you again. I'm glad you're feeling better after Affiliate Summit.
Oh man, just the congestion is now what's getting me. Congestion and coughing. So hopefully I don't cough a lot during this. But how was your Affiliate Summit? Was it good?
Yeah, I thought it was really good. You know, there was a lot of people there from a lot of different segments of the market, which is really, I think, what you want in a good event is getting buyers and sellers in the same room and having kind of fruitful discussions. So I really enjoyed it. I moderated a couple panels that I thought were super interesting for me. So it was good. I was busy, which is the key.
That's key. And then we went and deal, and I know we were discussing some opportunities and moving forward. But yeah, it was crazy. This was by far the craziest Affiliate Summit I've ever had personally.
I think I've heard some stories.
I overextended myself. Like you book meetings and then you're like hoping that some people cancel.
It sounds like you're getting old, Rick. It sounds like you're getting a little old.
40, man. I'm hitting that wall. My kids are killing me.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, it's just one of those things where I've been doing Affiliate Summit for 10 years now, about since like 2013, the first one. And yeah, it's just getting crazier and crazier just because I guess we're evolving as a business and in general. So more opportunities are coming. And I'm sure you can see the same thing, that as you grow your business, the opportunities and people want to meet you more and that kind of thing, it just becomes a lot.
Well, I think that some of the kind of like predictions about affiliate are coming true, which is that, you know, if you kind of had this conversation 5 or 6 years ago, people would say, hey, in the future, you know, all different types of content are going to be leveraging an affiliate model to drive revenue. And that's actually happening, right? I challenge you to find a content creator or a publisher of any kind of salt that's not using commerce or affiliate or whatever they're calling it in some capacity. And so, you know, it's going from a very kind of pointed tool to one that's a lot broader. And that, I think, reflects kind of the busyness of these things.
Yeah, I know. It is like the evolution of the affiliate industry is just has been crazy since I've been in it. And it started out like coupon deal sites, and now it's more of like the influencer and commerce, and that's where it's headed. Now AI is getting involved. So who knows what's going to happen next?
Not me.
I know. I think I'm trying to mess around with this AI stuff, and it's just, I just need to hire someone to do it for me. I just can't be bothered with it.
That's the whole point. You get AI to do it for you. You can't hire someone to do the AI. You gotta build your own robot.
Yeah, but I don't want to take the time to learn it and learn how to do it and all that stuff.
You are getting old. Yeah, that's the sign of really getting old.
I know. So
you're on the VCR.
Speaking of that, actually, I've got a bunch of VHSs that I have from when I was a kid that I want to watch again, but I don't know where to find a VCR without having to pay hundreds of dollars for it on eBay.
You might just have to, you know, they're now collector's items. So
yeah, it's crazy. But anyway, so you've been doing the MarTech Record business for a few years now.
Yeah, 4 years.
So, 4 years. 4 years. Congrats.
Yeah.
So what made you start this? Like, did you wake up one day saying, hey, there's a need for this, I'm going to fill that need? Or was it just like a hobby? Like, what was the deal when you first started it?
Yeah, well, there's a few things. The first is my dad is a guy who spent his career in the venture world. And he always said to me, you know, you should start a company. And I was like, no, I'm risk averse. This does not sound appealing to me to leave a well-paying job and make no money. And so I kind of ignored him. And he always said the same thing, which stuck with me, which was, when you find a problem, go solve it and you'll have a business, right? And also, a good portion of my career was in trade publishing. I spent 8-9 years at McGraw-Hill running the digital media business for their trade pubs. These are kind of big B2B publications that cover things like energy and aviation. So I knew quite a bit about trade publishing. And I found myself, we're fast forwarding very quickly, in the affiliate marketing space, being recruited by Partnerize, a job I took. And at Partnerize, one of the first things I learned was it was really hard to learn anything about our competition, about a lot of our partners, about the service industry, things that you do. And really the only way for me to learn these things in this particular market was literally fly around the country and meet with people and eventually go to Affiliate Summit and meet with a lot of people. And so that ended up teaching me two important things. One, that this is a very relationship-driven market, which I liked a lot, and I really enjoyed that part of this market. The second was, it was super inefficient. It was not the easiest and best way to kind of grow a market. And so I was sitting here, and this is back 2018-ish, 17, 18, knowing this market was going to grow into new content types, knowing that a lot more people were going to need to learn about the technology you employ to build affiliate campaigns, about the services you need, and that there was no good trade publisher that was independent, that was providing kind of useful everyday information to people in this market. And so I had this sudden and horrifying realization that I saw a problem that I actually knew how to solve, because my real expertise is trade publishing. And now I knew enough about affiliate marketing to be dangerous. And my dad's voice popped into my head saying, you know, when you see a problem, you should go solve it and you'll have a business. And I thought, oh no, and now I have a problem and a solution. And so, you know, I went out on my own. I built a MarTech record. The goal was simply to provide information that helps affiliate marketers do their job every day and do that well. You do it over and over again, people start to trust you. And if they trust you, there's ways to monetize content, right? You have sponsorship through events, through all sorts of different ways. And people tend to trust that, you know, you'll bring together the right community. And that has value for the market. It makes people make decisions a little faster, which has value, right? It allows them to get jobs. It allows you to select different, you know, service providers. And all of that creates value for a lot of people. And if you do that, you can find a way to, you know, have a little business.
Cool. It seems like your dad, like, indirectly had a lot to.
I was pretty direct.
Like, although he didn't tag it to start it, but it was his, like, his teachings back in the day that said, look, if you find something that's requiring a problem, build a business.
Yeah.
It's simple, really, advice.
Well, the good lesson in that was, whatever you're doing, you better be solving someone's problem, right?
Right.
If you're not, you know, you don't have a very effective business, right? And so no matter what it is, you got to think every day is like, is this solving someone's problem? And I do think about that every day. You know, we publish all sorts of different content and information. We publish data. You know, we have a kind of a compensation report, which helps people understand their value in the market. We put together events that connect buyers and sellers. We do all these different reports. And the only question I ask every time is, will this solve someone's problem? Will someone be able to make a better decision? And if the answer is yes, we publish it. It's just that simple. And so it does kind of always go back to that basic question.
I mean, I'll be honest with you, like the job posting newsletter that you send out, I read that one every time. I click all the ads and see who's hiring and that type of thing. It's kind of like spying on your competitors too, to see what they're up to. But it's just interesting to see what it's like and like trying to be a person trying to find a job. Like, what are the requirements nowadays? Because I haven't written a resume in 12 years, so I don't know what that would be. But it's also good for me to learn to see how job postings are done and all that. So it works in different ways.
We have five separate newsletters, and all five newsletters exist because people were asking me questions saying, hey, which events should we go to, right? And I, you know, for a year would answer that question as best I could before I realized, why don't we just aggregate this and tell everyone what events they should go to? Same with jobs, right? You know, you start a publication, people start asking, hey, can you post this? Or do you know anyone? Or can we have a call where, you know, you help us think through jobs? And that's as well, you know, you put them all in one spot and, you know, aggregated an audience, that would help someone solve a problem. Yeah. Same with our newsletter, same with our kind of data that we put together. So basic question helps, I think, kind of focus the business relatively well.
What you're doing is relatively simple. It's not, you're not reinventing any wheels. You're just providing information in like bulk so that people can review it. It's crazy how it's never been done before up until this point, but good for you to do that though.
Well, I would push back. I would say it has been done a lot in the past. So you're, I think, correct to point out that it's relatively simple, right? What's not simple, though, is, you know, how you monetize a trade publication. And so I was fortunate or unfortunate enough, depending on how you look at it, to work at McGraw-Hill when the business was kind of falling apart, when eyeballs were shifting over to digital, dollars were not. And what we didn't have at the time were tools to monetize people online, right? The only thing you could do was like make the banner ad bigger and pray, right? There were not good subscription tools, right? Affiliate was not something you could use in the B2B market, right? Classifieds had disappeared for some obvious reasons. And so what we lacked were these tools, right? And all that's happened in the past decade since that happened is, you know, the fundamentals have remained the same. Buyers and sellers need to connect with each other, but new great tools have been built to kind of allow you to do that online, like Slack, for example, right? I mean, if you go back 15, 20 years, you know, the way you connected was you joined your local association, right? You went to the association meetings, got a directory book from them that you paid a lot of money for, and you looked up all the people in your industry. And Slack has kind of found a way to replace that, you know, creating trusted communities of people. But fundamentally, to your point, you know, nothing's really changed, right? It's buyers and sellers trying to figure out how to connect with each other and trust each other. And if you can provide a venue for them to do that, you can create value.
Yeah, and in community too. It's one of those things, like that's a big thing now, and is building a community. And you've done a nice job of doing that. And especially with your events, I know you're expanding your events this year. Yep. Good for the MarTech Record in particular. So, but you're also in the event business. So you're
yes.
So you have two businesses essentially. So you're in an event business, which can be tough. Now, what made you decide to just add your own events on there instead of just promoting events that are happening within the industry? Was it just something that you saw another need for?
Yeah. I mean, again, you know, you go back to, you know, how do you solve a specific problem? And in this industry, it was, you know, we want to get the right buyers and sellers together in a room. But I wouldn't call it two different businesses, right? The overarching theme, right, is, hey, you know, the event business is not a separate business. It helps address the same basic need, right? It was to connect buyers and sellers in the market. And most good trade publishers have a tentpole event that is associated with their brand. What we're not is an exposition company, right? Like we don't put on giant expositions. I think that's a different business model. What we do is say, hey, how do you take the trust and the community that we've created at MarTech Record through the Slack channel, through the newsletter, right, through the website, through the webinars that we've thrown, and make that in person so we all feel that community, right? And if we can do that in a profitable way, we do. And so we've done that in New York for 3 straight years. We've had great events. And we're going to the West Coast. So on February 29th, we're hosting our first West Coast MarTech Record event, which will be warmer and probably a little more chill, which is exciting.
And then you're heading to Chicago, I believe. Is that right?
Yep. Yep, we're going on the road. We're going to Chicago on March 26th. I'm super excited about that because I am a Chicago native. And so for some reason, as a Chicago native, I still put the event in March instead of the summer. But I'm excited to test that out. And so if you're in either of those markets and want to join our community, we'd absolutely love to have you.
Yeah, because I'll be coming back to the New York one you're having. It's right around Affiliate Summit, right? Right to time?
Yeah, we've had, I think this will be our 4th straight year doing it in New York. And we always do it the first day of Affiliate Summit, a little before Affiliate Summit kicks off. And it kind of acts as, you know, if you're coming in, you're flying in. We do it in Midtown near the Marriott Marquis, stop by our event, and then kind of go off and have your dinners and connect at the Marquis a little later that evening. We're your first cocktail before you get to the Marquis.
Got it. So we know who this is really for. We understand like who the target market is, like, but it's not for everybody. So who does it not work for? Who will this not really work for? What type of business in our space?
That's a great question. So yeah, you know, who it doesn't work for is a much bigger list than who it does work for, right? A good trade publisher has to be very focused. And so, you know, our focus is almost entirely on, you know, on the publisher side, you know, people who are focused on kind of commerce, and that could be applied to, you know, a large publisher. It could apply to an influencer. It could apply to anyone who's trying to drive a commerce action through their publication. And there's a lot of range there. And then on the brand side, you know, it really is you know, people who are employing affiliate marketing tactics. Often that's an affiliate marketing manager. Often that's kind of the VP of growth who's in charge of driving affiliate. Increasingly, those are the PR teams who are now responsible for getting editorial teams to write about them. Then there's, of course, the agencies. And, you know, the agencies are a big part of our community, a big part of our audience, a big contributor of content. And these are typically digital agencies, PR agencies, and affiliate kind of OPMs, as we yourself are kind of make up our our audience. And so it ranges. It doesn't tend to include the big branding agencies. They're off making Super Bowl ads. We're off, you know, actually driving revenue. And that's the kind of stuff we like to talk about. It's growing from, I think when we started this, it was really kind of like the OPMs were the agencies. And now it's a range of people. You've got a lot of the PR teams, a lot of digital that's trying to incorporate affiliate into other channels and trying to understand best practices there. And so that's really the community. You got the publishers, the agencies, the brands, and of course, the technology providers are huge contributors to us from content and from a kind of financial support perspective as well.
There's not a week that goes by that I don't talk to either a brand or a prospective client about their PR team. They're like, oh, the PR team needs to have an affiliate platform to do this. Like, so like we talked at the beginning, everything is just coming back to affiliate in terms of, especially PR. It's called performance PR. That's what they call it now.
I think, you know, it's in my mind, you know, this is where we could have, you know, another hour of discussion, but to me, affiliate has kind of bifurcated and you have affiliate that is all about driving revenue, right? And this is the affiliate we know and love. And it, you know, is deals, cashback, coupon, loyalty. And that in itself is getting more innovative and interesting because, you know, it used to be there's like one or two publishers that drove 90% of your traffic. Now, because of Google algo changes, all this stuff, there's all these different publishers and there's extensions, right? There's card link offers. There's all this interesting stuff that goes on. And that's like one type of affiliate, right? And there's some real expertise that goes into that. And then there's what I call like storytelling, right? There is telling the story of a brand and building a brand. And that's like a lot of what the PR teams are doing is getting out there and telling a story. Now they happen to use an affiliate link to get credit for that, but it's a brand building exercise, which is different than getting out there, driving revenue, finding a lot of partners in kind of the old school space. There are a lot of similarities and you're using similar platforms and whatnot. But I think that the market has grown so that there's kind of different disciplines within affiliate.
Yeah, I agree with that. Because a lot of the brands, the line gets blurred. They don't know what they don't know. And their PR team says, oh, we need this. So they do it. And then the PR team they become an affiliate manager all of a sudden too. They start having to do all that. So a lot of it gets blurred and like the expectations. So yeah, we have a whole conversation about this topic, but yeah, it's just the evolution of the business really. It's PR is becoming an important part of it. And
you know, what's interesting is this has been going on for at least a few years now. And the Venn diagram really hasn't overlapped that much yet, right? So PR teams are still used to being kind of storytellers who track down editors. Not very many of them are experts at using these affiliate platforms. And affiliate teams, you know, are experts at going out there and figuring out how to drive revenue, right? And are experts at using these platforms, but not always great storytellers or don't think about, you know, they're not working with the brand team. So those things aren't being shared like they should be. And so we need to get to a world in which brand teams and advertisers are working with affiliate agencies, telling them the story of their brand, explaining how to kind of connect that to the right publishers. And then on the other side, PR teams are got to get a lot better at working with these platforms, figuring out, you know, how to set up commission rates and track that and update them and do all the blocking and tackling. That's the hard part of the job.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree anymore. It's one of those things, but I'm confident that it'll work out and the evolution will continue. And in a couple of years, we'll be talking about something totally different.
That's fun.
But Mike, this has been a good conversation. I appreciate you coming on here. And lastly, where can everyone reach out to you? Do you have LinkedIn?
Yeah, I mean, Michael McNerney on LinkedIn's always great. MartechRecord.com. I mean, here's what you can do. Go to MartechRecord.com and hit sign up, and that puts you on our newsletter, so you'll get all this information. And you know, if you ever want to reach out to me directly, please do. I'm always happy to connect and look forward to it.
And just so you know, that when you sign up for his newsletters, it's not just going to be spam garbage. It's actually legitimate quality information.
I appreciate it. We really try to send like one thing a week, right? Because like, I mean, I spend a lot of time hitting unsubscribe. And so we try to make it like we have once a week newsletter. You'll get a notification if we have a event in your area as well. We try to think ahead of time. We hit send. Will this solve someone's problem? And if it says yes, then we hit send. If not, we don't.
Yeah, but you're doing a lot better than probably most. And everyone just hits send and just hopes for the best. You actually have a why behind it and a reason behind it.
I think so. I hope so.
All right, yeah. Mike, I appreciate it very much. I thank you for your time.
You bet, Rick. Thanks. Always a pleasure to chat.
Thank you for listening to the Rick McGinnis Show podcast. Never miss an episode by subscribing to the podcast in iTunes, Google Play, and wherever podcasts are available. To learn more about Rick, go to affiliateprogrammanagement.co.